There are times when the Bible can be hard to understand. For example, when we don't know it very well. Maybe we're unfamiliar with its history. Maybe we struggle to put it all together. Whatever the case may be, we find it difficult to fully comprehend what it's saying. Of course, that's not the Bible's fault, but ours. Our shortcomings can make it difficult. But Christians, there are also times when we think we understand what it is that the Bible says, but in reality, we don't. Because we hear something in the Bible that sounds an awful lot like some other thing that we've heard, and because they sound so similar, we assume that it must be the same. Our assumptions in that case can lead us astray. Take our epistle reading for today as an example of this. Paul says in verse 4, "Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another?" Now that sounds an awful lot like things that we say in our time, which of course that it is wrong to pass judgment, by which we mean, of course, making any kind of moral judgment. It's bad in that sense to say something is bad. It's better to just ignore it, we say, or even to approve it. Might not be my thing, but it's the right thing for you. So I'm not going to speak against it at all. I want to affirm you in what you are doing. And since we use the language of passing judgment in this way, we assume that Paul means the same thing when he says passing judgment. And because of that, we are led to think that everything he says after that also points to the same thing. Let each one be convinced in his own mind. Why do you pass judgment on one another? And each will have to give an account of himself. And because we think we understand what Paul means, we don't listen all that closely. We just assume that he means the same thing that we do. But Christians, is that what he means? Well, later on in the very same chapter, Paul says this: "It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble." Now, that might seem a bit odd, because whenever we talk about passing judgment, we are always talking about our attitude towards someone else, that I really shouldn't concern myself with what someone else is doing. That's what we mean by passing judgment. But here, Paul is focusing on the other person's reaction and how I and my actions are affecting them. And at the beginning of the next chapter, Paul goes on to say this: "We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves." And again, if we think passing judgment is all about my attitudes, well, this can seem quite odd, because the word failings implies that we're not just ignoring what someone else is doing. And the language of strong and weak shows that there is, in fact, a right and a wrong here. So when we look at the wider picture of this chapter, we can see then that Paul does not mean the same thing that we do. Rather, when he talks about passing judgment, he is talking about how we approach our fellow Christians who are struggling, especially in those things which seem quite obvious to us. Now, maybe it would be a little easier to see this if we stop and first consider the situation that Paul is addressing, because he's focused on the problem of food in his day. In the Old Testament, there were, of course, a large number of food laws. Some foods were declared clean, other foods were declared unclean. And God's people were commanded to stay away from those foods that were considered unclean. So from childhood then, They were told repeatedly that they should not eat certain things. Now, these laws in the Old Testament had nothing to do with health. They had everything to do with keeping Israel separate so that they would be different from their neighbors, even in the very things that they ate. But Jesus declared all foods clean. The old distinctions had now come to an end because God's people were being brought in from every nation. There was no longer a need for them to be separated in this way. Those laws were good. They came from God, and they were good while they lasted. But now their purpose has been fulfilled. And for some Christians, like Paul, that truth was very easy for them to grasp. They could change their ways, and they wouldn't be bothered about eating these foods that they formerly did not. You could say, in a sense, it clicked for them. They got it. But for others, it was not so easy. After all, they had lived that way for many years. It had been drilled into their heads from childhood. And in their minds, they still had a problem with eating those foods. Now, no doubt they knew the truth. No doubt they even accepted what Jesus said about those foods. But they really struggled to put it into action. And so they continued to refrain from those foods, even though there was no longer a need for them to do so. But you could see how something like that would cause problems between the two groups. Because on the one hand, those who struggled with these things would be tempted to condemn those who did not. They would be tempted to say to them, "Can't you see that this is wrong? Why would you do this?" They would treat as what they were doing as sin, even though it wasn't. And on the other hand, those who got it were tempted to disdain those who struggled. Because after all, it was so obvious. You must be an idiot for not understanding it like I do. I'm just going along with what Jesus says. And if you say otherwise, if you say that I shouldn't do this, I'm going to do it even more because I'm right. In a word, they were tempted to not be patient with each other so that the body of Christ was torn apart rather than built up. But this is why Paul says what he does. Acting like this could only cause problems. Sometimes by just creating hard feelings, both sides digging in their heels, refusing to budge, so that they end up talking past each other rather than listening to what the other has to say. But far more often, it was a danger for the strong, for those who got it, because they would be tempted to insist on their own way, to say that I'm a Christian and I can do this because I am free in Christ. And their weaker brother would see what they were doing, and they would be influenced to do the same thing, even though they considered it to be wrong. They would be tempted by your stubborn example to go against their conscience and thereby open the door to sin. Because the conscience is like a fence, Christians. It is there to keep us in place. It's there to keep us in check so that we don't go somewhere we shouldn't go. Yeah, the fence might be in a silly place. Yes, the fence might even need to be moved, or even removed, as the case may be. But it's still a fence. And being a fence, it should be respected. because crossing that fence will soon lead to other problems. It's kind of like a cow who learns to start crawling fences. Pretty soon it becomes a habit. And even if it's not a sin right now, what's to stop me from falling into an actual sin later? Especially because I've already gone against my conscience once, and if I've gone against it once, it becomes so much easier to do it again and again and again. Why then, Christians, should I cause my brother in Christ to stumble by what I do? Let each one be fully convinced, Paul says. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord. The one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord. Not because both are right. That's not what he means. But rather because no one should be tempted to sin against their conscience. We all must answer to God, after all, and so we should seek to please him above all. Instead of insisting on my own way, I should seek to teach and to persuade. Instead of despising my weaker brother in Christ, I should strive to be patient and understanding. And I should even abstain from it for their sake, so that they are not tempted to stumble and fall. Until the day when we will both be strong and both walk together as brothers in the Lord. And of course, that leads us to ask, well, what if they never get there? What if they always struggle? What if they are always weak? What are we supposed to do then? Keep on abstaining. Never eat meat, as Paul says to his own situation. Yes, all foods are clean. But what's more important to you? Food or your brother in Christ? Because after all, Christians, Jesus did not insist on his own rights. Jesus did not disdain us, even though we are weaker than he. Rather, Jesus gave it all up. He left his heavenly throne to become one of us. He took the lowest place of all, so that through his sacrifice we have been made Christians. And through his example, we have become strong. Let us therefore walk together in that same self-sacrificing love that Christ first showed us, not despising one another, not passing judgment on one another, but bearing with each other in true Christian love, so that we are built up together as one body in Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, who humbled yourself for our sake, lead us to live in true harmony in you, so that we may glorify you in everything. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.